Okay, Rabosai. Thank you. This belongs actually here, because it belongs to Ben. What I'd like to do with you today starts with the Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. I say what I want to do today for this year starts on Daf Beis Amud Aleph with Tosfos Dibur HaMaskil Kol HaZvachim. Now, I'm not going to go through the entire Tosfos with you because that would take too long and we don't have the time right now, but I want to summarize two major points in this Tosfos that we want to take moving forward and try to show you, highlight in the Tosfos those two points. The first point that I want to make is the following. We have a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Zvachim, and that Mishnah becomes very relevant to this Tosfos at the beginning of Zvachim. So basically what we're doing is we're sort of comparing two Mishnayos in the Sefer Zvachim. Now the Mishnah in the fourth parak, which if you open up for a second to Daf Mem Vav on the base, and we'll come back to this mission in a minute. I just wanted to touch base, as we said. It says, L'shem Shisha Dvarim HaZevach Mizbach. So there's a list here of six different machshavos that are necessary in Hakrovas HaKorbonos. And it's very interesting because when we start the Sefer Zvachim, we're not even aware of this. We're totally focused on actually two out of the six. Which two out of the six have we been dealing with?
The shame of the
Korban. So the shame of the Korban, excellent. And also the shame of the Bayan. So this is called the shame, in the language of the Mishnah, it's called the shame Zevach and the shame Zovet, the first two of the six. Those two are the ones that occupy our minds when we start the Sefer Zvachim. In fact, the first part of this Tosfos with that back on the Beis Amud Aleph points out that when the Mishnah says Kol Hazvachim Shenizbchu Shelo Lishman, we're only talking about L'shem Zevach. But then Tosfos goes ahead and tries to analyze what about L'shem Zovach. So in the case of L'shem Zevach, we have the problem of Shinui Hashem, or Shinui Kodesh, if you want to call it that, where instead of having in mind L'shem Ola, he has in mind L'shem Shlomim, correct? And then we have the problem of Shalol L'shma in a Shinui Shem Zovach, if instead of having in mind Ruvain, the Bala Korban, he has in mind Shimon. So far, so good. And Tosfos basically assumes that whatever halachas apply to Shini Kodesh in the case of Shini Hashem, or the Shini Zevach, if you want to call it that, would apply to the case of Shini Zoveach if he has in mind Shelo L'shem Bailim. And that would mean that the carbon is kosher, but it's not all L'shem Bailim. It's not all L'shem Bailim for their chov. What about the balance of the list of six? What about the other cases? So these are the points I want to make. Point number one is that Tosfos assumes an equation between these two machshavos or kavanos and the other four, and he basically says that just like the Gemara is going to quote a source, a pasuk, for L'shem Zevach, the Gemara is also going to quote a pasuk for all the other six. And therefore Tosfos establishes the following kind of a hekesh, we'll call it, that just like we require a machshava L'shem Zevach and L'shem Zoveach, so too all the other four forming a unit of six are required kavanos. That's point number one, and B'li Nedar will try to get into it more as we go along. Point number two is that Tosfos establishes another equation between Shechita and all the Avodos, which means that the requirement of Machshava applies not just to Shechita, but to Kabbalah Sadam, Holach Sadam, and Zrika. But then Tosis adds another chunk, and that's called Haktaras HaKorban. Meaning at the moment that he's Maktir the Korban on the Mizbeach, there too he requires Machshava. So let's just summarize. What we have so far is the following. That Tosfos expands the requirement of Lishma to include all six that are enumerated in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. In other words, Tosfos postulates an equation between L'shem Zoveach, L'shem Zevach, and all the other four. And number two, Tosfos establishes an equation between Shechita and all the other four Avodos. And not only that, Tosis adds Haktara as well. So if I want to show you these points inside, again, it's a gigantic Tosis, so I'm just going to sort of pinpoint a few lines in the Tosis. Tosis says, let's say about, shall we say, seven lines down from the top of Tosis, he quotes a Gemara later on in Daf Dalit. And Minolan to be Inon Zvicha Lishma. And the Gemara establishes that we have a Yalfusa for requiring Zvicha Lishma. Then the Gemara says, Ashkechana, now we know Shinui Kodesh. If he doesn't have in mind Lashem Ola, instead he has in mind Lashem Shlomim. Shinui Baila Minolan. And the Gemara goes on to quote a source, a Yalfusa, for Shinui Bailim, which means L'shem Zover. So that's number one. And then he goes on to say, if you skip down a little bit longer, Venira, he says there's a Mishnah in Perek Beit Shammai, that's the Mishnah we have here in the fourth Perek on Mem Vavim Beis, this non L'shem Shisha Dvarim HaZevach Nizbach, L'shem Zevach, L'shem Zoveach, etc. And he says that the din of Lishma, meaning of Machshava, the required Machshava in Kodshim, applies not just L'shem Zevach, L'shem Zoveach, but also to the other four, meaning the balance of the six. And then he wants to know where is the source for that. So again, if you fast forward right before the lines get a little bit wider, he says, V'im Tomav Avim Perek Beit Shammai Darishle Midechsiv. Now, this you'll see in the Gemara there. The Gemara wants to derive all the various machshavos that are required in Kodshim from a pasuk that says, Ola Ishei Reach Nichoch Lashem. And the Gemara is going to go through each word in this pasuk in Darshan and another machshava that you have to have. And this is going to be the source for requiring a machshava for all six requirements mentioned in the Mishnah. Ubepirkim Gemara Daras Shinui Kodesh Mikra Chrino Yeshlomi Dekra Dahasam Baktara Saimurim. He says that the reason why the Gemara on Daf Dalet needs another pasuk, even though this pasuk Ola Ishei Reach Nichoch Lashem has also Lashem in it, and it also has the word Ola in it, which means it's got to be Lashem Ola. We need another pasuk, he says, and that is because of Haktara Seymurim, meaning that we have to have the right Kavana Lishma at the time of the Haktara Seymurim, that means after you finish all the Avodos that led up to the Dam, to the Zrika Sadam. The Hach, but here in the first Perek, meaning on Daf Dalet, the Gemara is trying to establish the requirement of Lishma up to and including Zrika Sadam. But now we have another pasuk that takes us even beyond Zrika Sadam, because the word Ola, Ishe, is referring to putting it on the Eish, which is Haktaras Seymurim. And therefore he says that even though the Mishnah says L'shem Shisha Dvarim HaZevach Nizbach, which sounds like, if you learn the Mishnah literally, that we're referring to only Avodos HaZvicha, but he says included in the Mishnah is also Haktara, Why? The hakra, the maisi hasam, the pasuk that we said before, Ola isha reach nichach lashem, is referring to haktara. So basically, Tosis works out the mechanics here, such that all four, all the balance of the six, meaning the other four of machshavas, are required in all of the process of the hakravas hakarban, leading up to and including the haktara. Now Tosfos says, "Mikom kom shapir darsh mikra dahasim zvichol shem yishem vav dvarim." Mid ishkis, he has a hekesh that equates all the different avodos together, and therefore he says, on the, if you take a look at the wider lines, not the widest lines, but the last of the middle sized lines, he says, "Mikrad kidiyolif mikrad the pirkin." Bein bak Torah, and applies not only to Avodas Adam, but even in Vak Torah. So again, just to summarize, there are 2 points here. Number one, that all four Avodos, all four additional Kavanos, that's making up the number six, in addition to L'shem Zevach and L'shem Zoveach, the other four Kavanos are also required in the Avodas HaKorbanos. And number two, even though the Mishnah mentions only Zvicha, which you might get the misimpression that it's only referring to Shechita, but nevertheless we have an equation between all the Avodas HaKorbanos, so that this din of Lishma and all the requirements thereof apply to all the Avodas. That's what we have from Tosfos as sort of like the Keresh Kfitzah, the starting point for today. We'll come back to this again and again and try to clarify. But what I really want to study with you, and again I apologize, I should have made a photocopy for you, is the Rambam. Mitch, you may have your Rambam, yes. So that would be good. Let me just read it first so that, you know, we don't slow down, and then you'll decide if you want a photocopy.
Where's the Rambam?
So we're looking in Maisa Karbonos, and 99% of what we do here in our Shiurim is in a book called Avoda. Don't get confused, because Rambam has another book called Karbonos, but that's highly irrelevant to us. Again, on occasion, maybe we'll refer to it. In any event, in Sefer Avoda, Hilchas Maisa Karbonos, we're looking at Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud. And then Amir Tzashem, we'll take a look at Halacha Yud Aleph. And here's where the Rambam addresses the question of Maisa Karbon as far as the Machshava is concerned. And the Rambam writes, Kol Azvachim, all the Karbonos, Sarech HaOved, Shetia Machshavto, L'shem HaZevach, U'l'shem Baila, B'shas, number one, Zvicha, number two, B'shas Kamol Saddam. Number three, B'shas Halacha Saddam. Number four, B'shas Zrika on his Mizbeach. So please notice two things about this Rambam. Point number one in the Rambam is that the Rambam is talking, he's isolating two machshavos for four avodos, whereas Tosfos had six machshavos for five avodos. So in other words, if we calculate what I call compare and contrast Shitas HaTosfos with Shitas HaRambam, and again, everything I say now is very, it's just on a preliminary state, because we have to get more into it. There seems to be a two-way machlokas, a double machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. So let's start backwards. Let's start with the Rambam sheet, because that's what we have open in front of us. The Rambam requires two machshavos in four avodos, all four avodos, but not anyone beyond that. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about haktara. At this point, the Rambam doesn't mention anything about the balance of the six machshavos. He only mentions two out of the six that are mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav. We're going to see in Halacha Yud Aleph, the next Halacha, the Rambam all of a sudden reminds himself about the other four machshavos. But at this point in Halacha Yud, he's focused exclusively on two machshavos out of the six, and that's L'shem Zevach U'L'shem Baila, for in the Lashon of Mishnah, L'shem Zevach U'L'shem Zoveach. Not only that, the Rambam says that these requirements of machshava, of these two machshavas, are applicable to not only Shechita but all four avodos, which he modestly explicitly mentions. But the second issue is that he doesn't mention Akhtara. So Tosus has six machshavos for five avodos. The Ram is mentioning right now two avodos for two machshavos for four avodos. Now, it could be possible that the Rambam is at this point in Halacha Tes focused on what I call the Hechsher HaKarba, meaning what's at stake now, what's at critical is what happens in the absence of these machshavos. Would the carbon be kosher with the Eved, and this is only a lachatchila, or would the carbon be pasul? And it could be that the Rambam now, at this point, again, we're going to read Halacha Yud Aleph in just a second, at this point in Halacha Yud, he's focused on what machshavos are absolutely critical in the Hechshar HaKarbon, and he isolates two out of the six, which would certainly explain why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, in a sense, when he organized the Mishnayos, he had a Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek that talks about the carbon being possible. Again, that's a bad word to use here, but you know what I mean by possible, meaning that it's not Olo L'Shem, L'Shem, L'Bayim L'Shem Chova. And it's only in the fourth Perek that he addresses himself to a more, shall I say, a broader issue, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, meaning what other machshavas should a Kohen actually have, even though they're only embellishments, but they're not absolutely critical. That could be the way the Rambam followed suit. Let's read now Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam says, "V'tzorech shetio machshavto b'shashchitas ha'ola l'shem shisha dvarim." Now this is very strange. The Rambam is talking about which avoda now? Shchita. Interesting. All of a sudden the Rambam is going to introduce four other avodos. I'm sorry, I keep saying that. What I meant to say is four other machshavos. Good. I only said it to make sure you're on your toes, right? But four other machshavos. And whereas in Halacha Yud, when he was focused on two machshavos out of the six, L'shem Zoveach and L'shem Bailu, right? L'shem Zevach and L'shem Bailu, there the Rambam spoke and went out of his way to explicate that we're talking about all the avodas. Again, forget about Akhtar for a second, but the four avodas. Now, when he picks up the discussion of expanding machshavos from the two critical machshavos, if you will, to add another four machshavos to the list, totaling six machshavos, here the Rambam focuses exclusively on shchita, and he doesn't go ahead and expand it beyond shchita. And he says, L'shem shisha dvarim, L'shem hazevach, L'shem hazoveach, shazevach, hu L'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yaktirim le'ishim, that everything that he's doing is for the sake of putting it on the fire, haktarasa l'reach bilvad, I'm not sure what he means by bilvad, apparently there were other cults and religions that had other things in mind, but ours is to create a reach on the Mizbeach, so that's vis-a-vis the Mizbeach, he has a machshava that he's going to create a reach on the Mizbeach, and not only that, a six machshav is that the reach should somehow be related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Nachas Ruach Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then, all of a sudden, the Rambam wants to know what happens in a scenario where he didn't have any machshava whatsoever. What's that called in our language? Stama. So the Rambam says that im shachat stam, apparently he's now empty of all these, his brain is empty of all these six machshavas, kosher. And then he says, Kamosha bi'arnu. We'll have to figure out where the Kamosha bi'arnu is.
You made the comment about
that. So maybe we have to go back to the end of Halacha Yud at this point. And the Rambam says at the end of Halacha Yud, after quoting a pasuk that equates Zvicha with all the avodas, all the other three avodas making up the four, then the Rambam says, V'chein shara karbonos, even though the pasuk itself is referring explicitly to Toda, to Karban Toda, and Shlomim, but we're going to expand it to all Karbanos. And then he writes at the end of Halacha Yud, V'im Shachat V'Avad, again, because here the Rambam equates all the Avodos with Shchita, Shara Avodos, Stam, V'lo Choshev Klal, V'Ola U'Bishlomim, okay, we have to figure out what that means, Harank Sherim V'Olu L'Bailim. So the Rambam says that here, the karban is going to be kosher because what kind of machshava does he have? Stam. right? Stam, zero. But if he had a negative machshava, then the Rambam is implying, and we're going to soon see that explicitly in the Rambam elsewhere, that the karban is kosher, but ain't all a bayal m'shem chova. And here, when he gets to halacha yud, he writes, v'imshachat stam kosher kamosha biarnu, which sounds like he's saying that with regard to shechita, we have to have six kavanos, but if he is absent all six and he has a shechita stam, then in such a case the karban is kosher. And if you look back in Halacha Yud, the Rambam has already committed himself that stam means that it's kosher v'olah l'bayil m'shem chova. So basically it's almost like a kal v'chomer here. If the Rambam in Halacha Yud, when you're really playing, pardon the pun, playing with fire, meaning because if you didn't have any of these two kavanos in the positive sense, you had them in the negative sense, meaning shalol shma, so you had a shinui zevach or a shinui zoveach, the Rambam is going to say, well, the karban is not even olah l'bayil m'shem chova, but if it was stam and he didn't have a negative kavana, then the karban is olah l'bayil m'shem chova. So then how much more so when the Rambam gets to halacha yud? It's almost muvan me'ilav. I don't know why he needs to even explicate this, that you're adding now and embellishing the hilchas machshava by incorporating another four avodos during shechita again. Then certainly if it's stam, then it's kosher, it's ol l'bayilim l'shem chovos. Now all this applies in general to all karbonos, but now there's always an exception to every rule, and in this case, the exception is going to be chatos and asham. Now again, here we have machlokas tanon, and the Rambam for some reason paskei rolos, and he adds asham into the picture. He says, ashoke chatos v'asham, sorech, Shetia machshavto l'shem oso hachit shebo olav. Okay.
You don't need all six machshavos, you just need that one.
You need the machshav of the chait. So we have to figure out what that means.
It wasn't even in the list, right?
One other thing. So again, whereas Tosus, let's just review, doesn't differentiate between shechita and the other avodos. In other words, according to Tosus, all the avodos were hukshu zu for the requirement of machshava, and not only that, the Tosus wants to know, once we have a source for all these six machshavos, why do we need a special source for l'shem zevach, for shinui shem? But nevertheless, Tosus would object to the Rambam's identifying, or shall I say, limiting the requirement of machshava to shashchita. So we have a number of points in the Rambam that we have to think about. Number one, the Rambam has made a separation between two machshavas and the other four, whereas in the two machshavas of l'shem zevach and l'shem bailov, the Rambam requires those machshavas straight across the board, meaning with regard to all four avodos, culminating in halach in zrikas adam. When the Rambam gets to the other four machshavos, he says those are requirements b'shashchita, and he's not willing to expand them to the other avodas. Add to that that the Rambam doesn't mention haktor at all, whereas Tosfos makes a big deal about a machshava b'shas haktor. So far that's what we have. Now I'd like to fast forward to another Rambam, and this is the Rambam in Hilchas Psulei Hamukdashim, and the Rambam writes, Kol hazvachim I meant to say it out loud. Perek hamishasar, the first opening halacha. Kol hazvachim shenishchitu b'machsheves shinui Hashem. So now the Rambam is talking about the machshava l'shem zevach. Okay, he'll get to l'shem zovech in just a minute. And the Rambam says that if he had a shinui, a machshava shinui Hashem. Again, this part of this Rambam is way beyond at least my understanding of Kodshim. He says, Bein b'karbonis yachid, bein b'karbonis ksibur. Okay, why the Rambam has to mention that, I don't know. Ksherim el shalo olu l'baylin l'shem chov. So now we finally have an elucidation of the Rambam that we spoke about in Halacha Yud, in Maisa Karbonos, Perek Dalet, when in Halacha Yud, he singles out, first of all, the Machshava L'Shem Zevach, Now the Rambam is telling me that although we've already established that stoma is olu l'bayilin l'shem, it's kosher be olu l'bayilin l'shem, but if he has a machshava to the negative side, meaning for Shini Hashem, then it's lo olu l'bayilin l'shem kol, but that's reflecting our Mishnah. But in any event, the Rambam says that the Zevach is still kosher, chutz min achatus v'apesach. And this is our Mishnah, that in Nasu b'machshev Shini Hashem psul, the Korban itself is possible. Then the Rambam goes on to formulate the what I call the expansionary rule with regard to the various avodos, because his opening statement was shenishletu b'machshev Shini Hashem. Now the Rambam goes on, he says, it doesn't matter if he does the Shini Hashem echad hamashan Hashem hazevach b'shas shchita or b'shas kabbalah or b'shas halacha or b'shas zrika, that's all going to be the same, which means that it's not olu l'bayilin l'shem chova. Then the Rambam says ketzad lo olu l'bayilin l'shem chova kugon sheshochad olu l'shem shlomim is lo also l'bayilin lo mishum ola shem chayovim bava lo mishum shlomim. Now that's interesting, by the way, on the side, that the Rambam feels compelled to tell me that it's not ola l'shem shlomim. Apparently there was some havamin in the Rambam's mind that since the Kohen had a machsheves l'shem shlomim as a Shini Hashem, then maybe it would be considered shlomim. I don't know, that really you have to know Kodshim pretty well for that. Yeah, anybody ever hear of something called hamshacha? Does that mean anything to you? Okay, so there's a whole perek that's dedicated to what's called Karbanos Oath. Yes. And in Karbanos Oath there's something called a Hamshacha, which means that you can take an Olas Oath and make it into a Chatas Oath. Yes. Through a Machshava. I mean, it's very complicated. I don't know much about it, but there's something out there in which a Machshava could possibly change the nature of the Karban. It's only in Ophos, because in Ophos the Torah has two birds that go together. One is an Ola and one is a Chatas. If you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so in this case, he was obligated to carve an ola. It was shechted l'shem shlomim, and the Rambam says that any of the avodas that were done l'shem shlomim is then he's chayav lahavi zevach acher. He's going to have to replace this ola with a second ola. Now the Rambam finally gets to the our question about shinui bailim, meaning shinui zoveach, and the Rambam says v'chein im shachat olas ruvein l'shem shimon. Lo also lo l'ruvein v'lo l'shimon. So now the Rambam has expanded the din of lo ol l'bayil l'shem chova from the first case of shinui shem hazevach to the second case of shinui shem hazoveach. And again, this would now really, I think, support what we said before, that in Halacha Yud, in the first Rambam, Ma'aseh Karbanos Perek Daled, the Rambam is talking about two machshavos out of the six, which can really undermine the kaparo, the ritzi carbon on behalf of the bailim l'shem chavasa. And therefore the Ram is justifying by separating halacha yud, where he isolates two machshavos, from halacha yud alef, where he incorporates all six machshavos, because the other four machshavos would not in any way affect the kaparas hakarbon, or in that sense, the bailim l'shem chavasa. I'm just throwing that as a possibility, because the Rambam only has these two machshavas here in Hilchos Psuli HaMukdashim, where the carbon is not ol bailim l'shem chova. Then the Rambam talks about what's called that akira b'tos.
There, he doesn't differentiate between shechita and the other karbonos.
No, here in Hilchos Psuli HaMukdashim, with regard to those two machshavos, in a ol bayim l'shem chova, the Rambam goes out of his way to say that that applies to all four avodas. Now the Rambam has another discussion about chatos and pesach, and he writes that chatos ha-pesach, where we said that that passels the korban if he has a shini Hashem. So let's say, for example, he shechted the chatos l'shem ola, the korban is mamish passel. And the Rambam says that it all depends on what kind of machshava did the Kohen have. There's a machshava called mezid, and then there's a machshava called shogeg, or tos in the language of the Rambam. So the Rambam says that if the Shini Hashem, or the Shini Bailim, was bezadon, Again, I'm always trying to figure out why the Kohen would have done such a thing. You know, he's undercutting the Bala Karbon, but that's not for us now. Then the Rambam says the Karbon is not Ol Shem Bailam, but if there was an Akir Bitos, then the Rambam says not only does that apply to all Karbonos, as far as being Ol Bailam Shem Chova, that since it was Bitos, it's not considered an Akira, but even with regard to Chatas and Pesach, where the two Karbonos, where Shini Hashem completely passes the Karbon, but he says that's not so unless he did it Bizodon, but if he did it Shogeg Bitos, then it's not Oker. The shame of the Karbon still remains a Chatos, and it's a Chatos Hakshera. In other words, as if to say, a Machshov Bitos, Lavshme Machshov. So it's really fascinating when you think about it, that all that we've been discussing over the last time and how many weeks about Shini Hashem, it's all talking about amazing. The Ram now goes on to talk about different other different Karbonos, Menachos, with the Machsheva Shini Hashem and Shini Bailim, Ola Sa'of. Finally he gets into the discussion about the difference between Karbon Yachin and Karbon Tzibur. But for the meantime, let's put the Rambam on the song. Now, what I want to do with you is to, with all the information that we've gathered at this point, and the Machlokas Tosfos and the Rambam, to try to go back to our Mishnah and revisit our Mishnah. Just going to make a bracha here, bracha toad, you know, the Machlom Shalkom. Now, our Mishnah, in addition to the first four lines of the Mishnah, which quote everything that we've discussed until now, quote Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer has an expansion in which he takes Asham and he puts it together in equation with Chatos. Okay, fine. Both are Baal Achid, and therefore we can make a Hekesh. Shalol Lishma passes a Chatos, it also passes an Asher. Then we get to Yossi Ben Choni. This is fascinating. We've only been discussing until now a Machshava of Shini Hashem in the case of Chatos, let's say, instead he had L'shem Ola. But what happens if, in the reverse situation, he's Shechting an Ola and he has in mind L'shem Chatos? And in such a case, says Rabbi Yossi Ben Choni, that the carbon is pasul. In other words, the psul in chatos works in both directions. Clearly, in the case of a chatos that he has in front of him a carbon chatos, and he has in mind an ola, that's pasul. Nobody disagrees with that. But now, in the reverse case, says Yossi, if he has in front of him a carbon ola and he shechs the carbon ola shem chatos, that also pasuls the carbon. Now, I'm a little bit confused because the Mishnah is discussing or answering the question when, under what conditions does the carbon become possible? Meaning, when there's a machshava shelo lishma, right, there's going to be a psul in the carbon. And the question is, to what extent does that psul apply? In all karbonos, it only applies as far as l'shem bayim, l'shem chov, and chatos and pesach means that the karbon is possible. Now we're saying that there's another psul, and that psul applies to all other karbonos, according to Yossi, when he had a machshav l'shem chatos. This deviates from everything that we've been saying until now. Why? Because until now we spoke about requiring a machshava l'shma, and we said that in all karbonos, with the exception of chatos and pesach, with all karbonos, the absence of l'shma is not going to passel the karbon. The karbon remains kosher. Even in the absence of the right kavana. So he didn't have the right kavana, yet the carbon is kosher. Again, I'm not up to chatas and asher yet. Kazal and Yossi, and he says, I'm going to talk about those very same karbonos, and I'm going to tell you that the carbon became possible. He didn't have the right kavana. Now that's a little odd, because we were saying that in the absence of the proper kavana, the carbon in a classical case, not in the chatas case, is still kosher. Now, according to Yossi, that's not really true, because in the absence of the right machshava, the carbon became possible. What's going on here? I mean, do you follow what I'm saying? If I were to formulate the Mishnah until Yossi in the following way, you are lacking the right kavana. I have good news and bad news. The good news is the carbon still remains kosher. The bad news is that the Bailu are not all the same chov. Comes along Yossi, and he says, well, you shechted the carbon the same chatos, and the carbon is now possible. That really sends us on a whole different direction. He's not disagreeing with the opening line in the Mishnah that despite the absence of the right kavana, the carbon is kosher. He's introducing what I call a brand new principle. Is anybody following me? Let's see if I can formulate it a little better, in a more precise way. What I'm saying is, if we ask ourselves the following question, the Torah requires of the kavan of the coin to have a certain kavan, maybe even six kavans, right? The proper kavan. What happens in the absence of any of those, of any or all of those kavanos? So the Mishnah says the carbon is still what? Still kosher. So I need the proper kavana in order to be olal v'ayin l'shem chovah, but even in the absence of the proper kavana, the carbon will still remain kosher. Comes along Yossi, and he says, well, you know what? I'm going to tell you that in the absence of a kavana, the carbon is possible. What the right kavana? What's the case? An olal l'shem chatos. But I don't get it. You just finished telling me that I don't have to have that kavana l'shem ola in order to be machshir the carbon. Again, in chatos it's a little different. In chatos, I have to have a kavana l'shem chatos in order to be machshir the carbon. And in the absence of that kavana, the carbon is possible. But in a case of an ola, as one example, the absence of the right kavana doesn't possible the carbon. What happened in Yossi ben Choni?
He's not talking about the absence of the
carbon. Oh, excellent.
That was specific.
Start again. You see, it's not fair, because I want you to say it the way I want you to say it, which is not fair. But you started beautifully. Yossi is not talking about the absence of the proper kavana. Excellent. That's what I want. He's talking about a negative kavana. This is a really new breakthrough in the mission. What Yossi is establishing, I think, and that's, I use the word deviate, but that's not the right word, because I didn't come up with the right word in my mind, but he moves on, whatever the word is, and he comes up with a brand new concept that, okay, it's true, I agree with you, the absence of the right kavana does not undermine the kashrus of the carbon, and you know, the ola is still an ola, and it's kosher, even though you didn't have the right kavana. We're not going to punish you that badly. You know, there'll be a halfway mark punishment. Kamzel and Yossi, and he introduces a whole new concept. And he's saying, all right, I agree with you, the absence of the right kavana is not going to possible the carbon. But in certain cases, a wrong kavana is going to possible the carbon. And what's the wrong kavana that's going to possible the carbon? The Shem Chatos. And I see the same breakthrough here in Shimon Achi Azariah. Because what does Shimon Achi Azariah say? That if he shechted it l'shem namuch, it's possible. So for example, he has kachim kachim in front of him, and he shechts it l'shem kachim kalim. And according to Shimon Achi Azariah, the carbon is possible. Comes with Tosis, and he says that the word possible here means possible agamre. Don't play games with me here, says Tosis. It doesn't mean a halfway measure that really the carbon is kosher. So So now we have another example, I think, of what we saw already in Yossi Ben Choni, that there's such a thing called the negative machshava, and that's going to passel the karma. So the absence of the right kavana, again, this is all accepting chatos. So let's forget about chatos. Chatos is classified, right? But in all karbanos, the absence of the right kavana does not passel the karma. Again, it has its impact for sure, but it doesn't passel the karma. In the case of a negative kavana, which means according to Yossi, l'shem chatos, ol l'shem chatos, in the case of Shimon Achi Azariah, ol l'shem shlomim, if we assume that that's called namuch shebehem, that's going to also be a machshava poselis. So we have now two issues that the Mishnah is addressing in all karbanos. One issue is what's going to happen if he doesn't have the right kavana. And the answer is, if he doesn't have the right kavana, the carbon is kosher. And then there's another issue that the Mishnah is addressing. What about a negative kavana that is going to have the impact of passeling the carbon? And that's, in the case of Yossi ben Choni, going to be the case of L'shem Chatos, and in Shimon Achi Azariah L'shem Namuch Shebehem. In those two cases, the Mishnah is recognizing that there's such a thing in all karbanos as a machshava that is negative. It's call it a machshava poselis. It's not just an issue of, well, I need the right kavana. Okay, you want to say you need the right kavana, that's very nice, but that's not going to undermine the kashrus of the carbon. But now we're saying something totally different. What we're saying is that you can't have a negative kavana. And the negative kavana means that the carbon is going to be pasul. So the Tanakhama never accepted this. The Tanakhama, I think, again, I'm not saying that there's a machlokas here, but the pashas in the Mishnah seems that the Tanakhama never accepted Yossi or Shimon Achi Azariah, for sure not. So from the Tanakhama's perspective, the whole deal with regard to all karbanos accepting Chatos and Pesach, the whole deal reduces itself to the following. The Kohen didn't have the right kavana. And if he didn't have the right kavana, what do we do? The answer is the carbon is still kosher. The absence of the right kavana is, in the worst case scenario, is going to end up with what? With Eino Olo Bayan L'Shem Chov. Then we have the Sefer, the Mishnah, which I'd like to put the demarcation point from Yossi and onwards, where we have two other Tanoim that say, no, it's not, you're giving me half the picture, you're not giving me the whole picture. It's not true to say, well, in the absence of the right kavana, the carbon is kosher. That's not necessarily true. There's another se'if here that has to be mentioned, that has to be emphasized, that even though the absence of a right kavana is not going to jeopardize the kashrus hakarbon, but there is such a thing that we have to recognize called a negative kavana, and that's going to passel the carbon. That's already called what? A machshava poselis. But just Alan was okay.
Are you sure that the reason, the same reasoning by chatos is the same reasoning by namuch when we lower them? It may be that they're not the same reason that it's passels. In other words, the shem chatos passels because chatos demands that you have kavana for chatos, and when you do that, you automatically you passel it. But namuch menu doesn't necessarily require you have to say the shame that you're having a negative kavana. It may be that it's technically it passels it because you now block requirements that are you're going to have to do for the korban, which are don't fulfill what the original korban was for.
Alan, I wasn't going. You're already a step ahead of me. You're going into the reasoning behind it. I wasn't asking why in Yossi is l'shem chatos a posel. Why in Shimon Azariah is l'shem namuch a posel? That already you're adding a lot and going way beyond. I was just mentioning that what's common to both Yossi and Shimon Achi Azariah is that they both recognize in all karbanos the possibility of a negative kavana that's going to passel the karban, as opposed to the reisha of the Mishnah, which is limited to a discussion about the absence of the right kavana. And the absence of the right kavana, if that would exhaust our whole discussion, then we would be left with a karban kosher. When does the karban become passel? Well, we don't know of such a thing in the Tanakhama. What we know of in Yossi and Shimon is that now we have a concept called a negative kavanah. That's a major breakthrough in the Mishnah. Until now, we never recognized until Yossi and Shimon a machshava that would passel the karbon. We only discussed in the context of all karbon, it's not chatas, a question of, well, you know what, the Kohen didn't have the right kavanah. He shechted in Olah L'shem Shlom. You know, that wasn't the right kavanah. Oh, boo-boo. So we're going to say, Eina Olah B'Adashem, but the karbon still remains kosher. Now what we're saying is, and this is true for all karbonos, according to the Sefer of the Mishnah, if you follow me, that there's going to be such a thing as, you know, it's not just you didn't have the right kavanah, but you had a certain specific wrong kavanah, and that's going to passel the karbon.
So we're still talking about Mezer here, or were you talking about Shokah?
I assume we're talking about Mezer. You know, I'm going to go with the Rambam until I know that other Rishonim might disagree. There's a whole sugi about Akira B'Tos. We haven't gotten to that sugi yet. That's deep, deep into Masechet Zvach. We're still holding on to base. So you're going to have to give me a little time until we get to the sugi of Akira B'Tos. Yeah.
So according to Yossi, the concept of a negative karbana is not that I thought of a different karban. Rather, it's specifically I thought of a khatas.
Correct. So it's correct. Not, it's really interesting.
It's not just that I didn't think of the right thing or that I thought
correct.
Of something wrong.
Excellent.
It's that I thought of a specific
excellent.
Something wrong.
You said it a lot better than me. Because again, if you didn't have the right karban, if that's what's missing, then the karban still remains kosher, even according to Yossi. Yossi is singling out one negative karban, and that's called the shame khatas. Again, I'm not raising Alan's question, why, and what's the reason behind it, but I'm just saying that in abstract terms it comes out that this machshava, which he's isolating and pinpointing l'shem chatos, that's an automatic psul. Shimon Achi Azari is going to tell you that, you know, if maybe he would agree that l'shem chatos is a machshava psul, I don't know, but his criterion is, are you having in mind l'shem noach? And if you're having in mind l'shem noach, that's a machshava that passes the korban. Now, Rabosai, I want to offer. I'm hoping, in a sense, that I've convinced everyone that what I said is correct. But right now, I want to offer another possibility, just to confuse me or confuse you.
Can I just ask one thing before you do that, so
yeah.
I don't confuse you?
Then, yeah.
if you're saying the other one, normally speaking, you had no kavanah. You had blank kavanah. If you had blank kavanah, what did you do? How did you end up with a karma that's normal? What did you do?
In the case of a blank kavanah, there's no such thing as no.
Yes.
Again, since Shimon Achi Azari is introducing a kavanah poseles, it must be that he had to have explicitly that kavanah. You know, if you're talking about stoma, for example, where he didn't have that machshava, then Shimon Achi Azari doesn't get off the ground.
Unless he doesn't care, no.
Okay, so we'll get to Keranot in a minute, but you hear what I'm saying. That once you talk about, you know, enumerating a machshava poseles, then we're not talking about stoma. Because again, the concept of stoma, this we should really write in bold, big letters, because this is the one statement that I can say I know about Kodshim that I'm never going to deviate from this and backtrack. Is that when you're talking about mistama, then you're not talking about a negative kavanah. Mistama equals the absence of the right kavanah. In other words, you're lacking in the positive kavanah, but you don't have a negative kavanah. That's what mistama means. Yeah, I think that's a very good, how should I say, operating definition, which I hope you have mentioned.
Looks like you. How does stama work if a person, if we're holding that he has to say What he's thinking, what does he say?
He went ahead and did the avodah that he didn't say anything. That's called mistoma.
So
you can punish him for that, you know. Maybe we'll demote him as a Kohen. But the question is what we do with the carbon in such a case. He did all the avodahs, kididu kehechsher, but he's missing any sort of lishma, any sort of kavanah. So what do we do with such a carbon? So what would you say? I would have said, you know what? Punish the Kohen. I'm not sure if I want to invalidate the karma. So comes along the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, we're not going to invalidate the karma, which is good news. Why? Because he didn't have a kavana l'shem chatos, he didn't have a shem kavana l'shem, you know, all he could say is he didn't do the right thing, but you can't say he did the wrong thing. And until he does the wrong thing, the karma is not possible.
So based off of what you're saying, then this stama, according to Yossi, would also include Ola L'Shem Shlomo. That's a stama kavana.
Again, I don't want to say that Ola L'Shem Shlomo, if it's L'Shem Namach Shebehen.
I'm not talking about. According to Yossi.
He didn't have him on L'Shem
Chata. He didn't say Chata. So he had, say, Asha. So he had Ola L'Shem Asha. So that, by definition, is a stama machshava.
Well, again, I don't know if we have to introduce stama because we're not ready for the sugya of stama. Let's talk about the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that kol hazvachim shenizbuchu shelo lishman. So your case is a classical case of shelo lishman. And if we're not talking about L'Shem Noach, we're not talking about L'Shem Chatos, then it goes back to the original statement of the Mishnah, and that's called Shini Hashem. And Shini Hashem has serious repercussions, which again don't apply in the case of Mistama. Let's recognize that. In the case of Mistama, the Rambam says it's kosher and all L'Shem Bailim, and that's going to be the Maskana Sasugi here on Daf Beis Amud Beis after a very long Shakla Vitaria. Whereas in the case of Shini Hashem, that's not a case of Mistama, and the Mishnah says that in that case, if there's no negative kavana, what we call a machshava poseles, then the carbon at least is kosher, and that's what we want to grant it. But now, what I'd like to deviate a little bit from what I said, and maybe polish it a little bit finer, you know, fine-tune it a little bit. I presented to you a thesis that in the first part of the Mishnah, up until Yossi, what we're talking about is the absence of the proper machshava. Forget about that. I'm going to offer a different suggestion now. Even in the ratio, we're talking about a machshava poseles. Why? How do I have the chutzpah to say such a thing? Because the Mishnah paskins that what's the status of this karbon as far as ritzui, as far as olah l'bayim l'shem chova?
Lo
olah l'bayim l'shem chova. That is a machshava poseles. Meaning, why should I go ahead and split the Mishnah into two and tell you that the first half of the Mishnah doesn't recognize a machshava poseles, and therefore the Mishnah is only saying it's the absence of the proper machshava? No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you that the Mishnah in the Reisha is also operating with a machshava poseles. And that machshava poseles is going to undermine the ritzui karman or the kaparas karman as far as the bialim being ol l'shem chova. So yes, the karman in some sense is still kosher, but that's not to deny the existence of a machshava poseles. Meaning now the machlokis between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah becomes more of a quantitative machlokis. Not a qualitative machlokes. What do I mean, quantitative machlokes? In other words, what we're saying is, enochinami, there's a machshava poseles even according to the Tanakhama, the Reisha, the Mishnah. How far does that machshava poseles go? So that's going to be a machlokes. Is there, in other words, let's put it this way. Do we recognize a machshava poseles that completely undermines the kashrus of the karbon? The Tanakhama says no. There is no such thing, with the exception of chatos, okay? But in general, in karbonos, there's no such thing as a machshava poseles that goes that far. Again, it is a posel. He had the wrong machshava. He had in mind Ola L'Shem Shlomim. And that's going to have a tremendous impact on the Ola. It's going to strip the Ola of its kapara power. The Bible, we're going to have to replace it now with another Ola. So that is a machshava poseles. What the Tanakhama is not willing to accept is that there's a machshava poseles that goes as far as making the carbon totally invalid. That's where Yossi and Shimon Achiazari come into play. How far do we go with the machshava poseles? The Tanakhama is only willing to go so far. Only as far as the Ritzi carbon is concerned. We're not about the Etzem Gufa carbon and its kashrus.
And exactly like Yossi. Then Tanakhama is exactly like Yossi.
No. Tanakhama never accepted. He never recognized.
Pesach v'achatos. So,
I'm saying the machlokas between Tanakhama and Yossi is going to be Ola L'Shem Chatos. according to the Tanakhama, all the same chatos is a machshava poseles, but it doesn't undermine the kashrus of the karma. Comes along Yossi ben Chonin, he says all the same chatos. Again, I'm just giving one example. Any carbon l'shem chatos, the carbon is completely possible. Or, for example, Shimon Achiazari is going to say that any carbon with a machshava l'shem novach for him, the carbon is completely possible. That far, the Tanakhama would not go.
Why? Kol hazvachim shenis b'chishelo lishman k'sherim. So it's kosher. Kosher. Ela shelo adu la'be'alim l'shem chovah.
Right.
Okay. And chutz min pesach v'chatat shema.
That he had a kavona chatos l'shem ola.
That he had
in mind chatos shem ola. When Yossi is going, he's going.
He's doing ola the shem chata.
Right. So ola is really what we call.
So that's how I understood Tanakhama also.
No, ola, but listen carefully. Again, we have to make sure that we understand that when we talk about karbonos, we're talking about all karbonos with the exception of chatos. So let's not get confused about the case where you have a chatos in front of you. But what's the general rule according to the Tanakhama with regard to any carbon that's not a chatos? So let's say, for example, he has an ola in front of him. That ola, no matter what, how bad the machshava is going to be, we call it the worst machshava in the world, it's always going to remain kosher. Comes along Yossi and he introduces azah machshava poseles, that even in stam carbonos, like an ola, will passel the carbon completely. But the machlokis here then becomes machlokis in a sense in kamus, not nechus. What I mean to say is how far you're willing to go. The chachamim were never willing to go and recognize in Shaar Karbonos that there's such a thing as a machshava poseles that completely passes the carbon. They recognize that it's a machshava poseles. In a very serious sense, it's a machshava poseles. The fact that he thought about this ol l'shem shlamim is going to remove the kaparas ha-carbon. It now becomes a carbon which we're bringing, I don't know as what. We had a long discussion about whether it's even related to the Bailim, you know, with the Gemara Nazir and with Cheskel Abramsky and that old Torah that we spoke about. Comes along Yossi, and for that matter, Shimon Achi Azariah. No, I'm willing to go all the way. You know, I'm not willing to round, you know, I'm going to round the bases, as we say in baseball. Now the Machshava Poseles, in cases X, Y, and Z, that will passel the carbon completely. And what's X, Y, and Z? So if you have Yossi, you have L'shem Chatos. And if you have Shimon Achi Azari, it's always going to be L'shem Novuch. And there's so many different variations of L'shem Novuch. For example, we spoke about Shlomim, L'shem Bechor, and Maaser. And that also is a Machshava Poselis. In which case, the carbon is completely possible. Again, Tosis points out that in the case of Bechor, we don't have this business about all about L'shem Chatos. That's a different discussion. Now we get to the sugya of Stoma Lishma, and I'm really in a bind over here because I don't get it. If you accept my second approach, let's assume I'm, you know, just for pedagogic purposes, we took a vote and we all accepted my second approach.
Is that what Rashi says? Rashi is using us doing your second approach, right?
Which Rashi?
First Rashi.
Could Shenishchad Ol L'shem Shlomim? That Rashi?
Yeah.
What do you see in that Rashi, Mitch, that I missed?
That's what you're saying. The second thing.
That he's actually.
That what? That's a machshava poseles. No, maybe Rashi.
It's not a stama.
Oh, yeah. No, but okay. So I both said maybe I have to just backtrack again. There's no question the Mishnah is talking about Ol L'shem Shlomim. That wasn't my issue. My only issue is, how do you define Ol L'shem Shlomim? Two definitions. One definition is that becomes a Machshava Poseles. The other definition, which was, I thought was the simpler definition, more intuitive definition, would be that he's lacking in L'shem Ola. I can't tell either way from Rashi. If he's lacking in L'shem Ola, well, that's not called a Machshava Poseles. That's the absence of the right Kavana. And in the absence of the right Kavana, the carbon is kosher. The second way I'm saying it is no. The Machshava L'shem Shlomim is a Machshava Poseles, albeit a limited soul, which only affects the Ritzia carbon, not the Kashrus of the Gufa carbon. You hear the difference between the two? So again, let's just summarize. Yesh Lachkar. This is the Chakir that we're offering here. According to the first half of the Mishnah, are we dealing with the Machshava HaPoselis, or are we dealing with the absence of the right Machshava? When he shechts an Ol L'shem Shlomim, Is the problem in the Lashem Shlamim, or is the problem in the absence of Lashem Olam? Is it the absence of the right Kavana, or no? We're going way beyond that. We're saying that he had the wrong Kavana. You understand where I'm leading to my discussion about Stama in just a second, right? But before we get to Stama, I just want to set the framework or the background, the conceptual background. Because if we're talking about a machshava poseles, meaning that l'shem shlamim is what undermines the kaparas hakarban, then why would I even begin to entertain? Okay, I'm already letting the cat out of the bag on the next half of my discussion for today. Stomach being possible. And again, as I mentioned to you a million and one times, the Gemara is fighting tooth and nail against stomach lishma. And when you look into the Rishonim and the Achronim, they all say that there's one man, the Omar. I don't know who, you know, who it is. He's sort of like an anonymous, faceless Amora, who's of the opinion that stomach kishalol lishma. And the Gemara is going to debate this back and forth all the way till Daf Gimel. The Gemara is going to try to prove it from here and try to prove from here, and Mishnayis with regard to Pesachim and Mishnayis and Gittin. Then we're going to go through all of Shas to try to figure out what's the status of Mistama. Well, I don't get it. If you accept my approach, the second approach, which means that the Mishnah accepts and recognizes from the beginning of the Mishnah to the end a machshava poseles because he had in mind shelo lishma, in this case of Rashi it's l'shem shlamim, that's what he had in mind. What does that have to do with mistama? Mistama is not a machshava poseles. Mistama, in the worst case scenario, could be the absence of the right machshava, but you can't call it a machshava poseles. So why is the Gemara racking its brains to try to figure out what's the deal, what's the din in the case of Mistama? The whole Mishnah is predicated on one fundamental premise, and that is Machshava Poselis. In the case of Stama, there's no Machshava Poselis. So I would tell you, it's a milsa de pshita, that in the case of Mistama, the carbon is kosher. If you go with the other definition, my first definition, namely, that we're not dealing with the machshava poselis, we're dealing with the absence of the right kavana. So now the Gemara wants to know, how far are we going to go with this? Okay, you didn't have the right kavana. So what happened? Did you have nothing in mind, or you had in mind something else? Maybe if you had something else in mind, you know, chatas, what is it called, ol shem shlamim, that's considered that you didn't have the right kavana. But if you had mistama, or we're going to introduce the Karen Ora over here, and as Yechiel pointed out, and Karen Ora says, well, in the case of mistama, maybe you did have the right kavana, even though you didn't have the right kavana, but it's as if you had the right kavana, or the Brisker Rav's approach, that the carbon itself sets up the lishma, whatever you're going to say, that's going to be this whole new project of ours. But I'm just pointing out that if the Mishnah is integral, that's not the word I want to use. What I mean to say is that what's the word in English to describe something where all the parts of a whole fit into one pattern? You know, there's a certain integrity, you know, that takes you from the beginning to the end. You know, it's consistent. Okay, we'll call it consistent. If the Mishnah is consistent, again, I'm going backwards in a sense, consistent from the Sefer back to the Reisha, meaning just like we saw in the Sefer of the Mishnah, we're dealing with the Machshava Poseles, let's use that concept and be consistent in the Reisha, and say that in the Reisha, we're also dealing with the Machshava Poseles. Although not a Psul Lagamri, because we're going to salvage something from this carbon, we're going to go through all the Avodos and all the motions, but as far as Ritzui carbon is concerned, the carbon is possible. Because of Machshava Poseles. But then again, if you're dealing with Machshava Poseles, I don't begin to understand why the Gemara is clearing back and forth, and they're ripping each other, you're ripping the fenders of Fast and Furious about the issue of Mistama. Mistama is certainly not a Machshava Poseles.
If we understand the Tanakama through Rashi with the side of your question, that it's an absence of the positive,
right, Machshava,
then what is a Machshava Poseles? He had a Machshava for Olam, or Shlam, excuse me. He had a Machshava for somebody else, but you're not calling it,
that's just the absence of the right Machshava.
What is the Machshava Poseles? What is the
Machshava? Oh, that's only in the Sefer of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama never accepted Machshava Poseles.
Oh, so he doesn't hold there's such a thing as Machshava.
Well, again, Chatos, you know, let's say, I grant you, in Chatos is such a thing as Machshava Poseles.
He doesn't even accept the premise of Machshava.
Correct. It just doesn't exist. That's one way of going. And basically, if there's no machshava poselis, then everything boils down to the following question: did he have the right kavanah, or did he not have the right kavanah? And how's that going to impact on a karma? And then you could begin to maybe differentiate between, okay, it's one thing if he didn't have the right kavanah and he had no kavanah, because maybe we could apply the keren orah's kind of mechanics. And it's a whole other thing if he had in mind l'shem shlomo, and now I don't have the right to force down his throat, that he had in mind l'shem olah. He certainly did not have in mind l'shem olah, because he had in mind l'shem shlomo. And that's called the absence of the kavanah of l'shem olah. But if you're going to tell me that the mission is not based on the absence of the right machshava, the absence of the right machshava would certainly not deserve, I mean, you want to give the coin a patch, give him a patch, but that would not deserve to invalidate the carbon per se. And the whole mission is predicated on the fact that he had a machshava l'shem shlomim. You know, he introduced a whole new foreign carbon into the picture. That's what passels the carbon, at least as far as ritzui carbon is concerned. Then I'm stuck, because I don't understand why the Gemara is butchering, pardon the expression, back and forth about Mistama. The whole sugya Mistama, it seems to me, is predicated on the following question: the absence of the right machshav, is that a posel? In the Mishnah we saw that the absence of the right machshav, he didn't have l'shem olah, that passes the carbon at least as far as ritzu. Can we extend that to a person, a kohen, who had nothing in mind? That's also the absence of the right machshav. Or do we have this new halacha called mistama kilishma dami? So what I'd like to show you here, which I was very excited, I found something in the second volume of Nefesh Tova, which... Sammy, you were... Am I allowed to call you Sammy in public?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah? Okay. Which Sammy was kind enough to photocopy for us. So I don't know, does everybody have a copy of this?
Yeah.
Do we have enough? Great. So again, you know, this is a 3-volume work, and I've been focusing all my energies on the first volume. I didn't even get past the 30th page of 500 pages in the first volume. But then I figured, wait a minute, Tosis is quoting a Mishnah later on in the fourth parak on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. Maybe there's something in the Nefesh Tova on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. And I think I hit payday. And that's what I photocopied for you here. Because I bought all 3 volumes. The truth is, off the records, I haven't paid for it yet. Because it's very interesting. I don't know. I got a message from my nephew. He left the 3 volumes outside in front of my door with a message to say, send your contribution to Pnei, I forgot the name of the shul right now, Pnei Moshe, or whatever the shul is called. And I'm Eschatoy Maske, I didn't get around to pay the donation, but he called it a donation. So I don't know.
Well, you acquired it, even though your kesef is not a kinyan.
Yeah, I made a kinyan agbo.
So that's right.
So what I want you to look at is a paragraph that starts Ubechidushe Maran Riz HaLevi, which is on page Shin Nun Aleph, and I think that would be the second page, right? The middle page. Yeah, now just give me 1 minute, because there's a paragraph here where he quotes the Lechem Mishnah. I just want to give me 1 minute of silence, so to speak. Just I want to see if there's anything in the Lechem Mishnah that's important here for us. Mashkosim Rambam Dim Shochat Stam Kosher Mashmim Shochat Beferish Lolishim. Wow. Okay, this Lechem Mishnah might shed a light on what we want to discuss today. I'm not sure, but it's definitely a revolutionary Lechem Mishnah. The Lechem Mishnah claims that if you read the Rambam carefully, you get the impression that in Halacha Yud Aleph, if you remember, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, when the Rambam speaks about Shesh Advarim, you know, the 6 machshavos, the Rambam says, well, if it was Mistama, the carbon is kosher. The Lechem Mishnah wants to claim that if he had a negative machshava in any of the 6, it would passel the carbon. So please keep that in your back pocket. I don't know where to go with that. I have no clue. We've insisted that there's no way, no how, that you can talk about pasas or korban according to the Rambam, except in the first two machshavos, meaning machshav l'shem zevach and l'shem zoveach. The Lechem Mishnah says that if you read the Rambam carefully, you will come to the following conclusion, that just like in l'shem zevach and l'shem zoveach, although mistomeh is kosher, but if you had a negative kavana for a different zevach, then it's not all the bayon l'shem chova. The Lechem Mishnah says a careful reading of the Rambam halacha yud aleph would lead you to the conclusion that that din applies even to the balance of the other four machshavos as well. Again, I don't know the logistics of it. I can't tell you what the hechatimtza is, right? So let's say he has in mind that the mizbeach should have a nachas ruach, but he doesn't want Hakadosh Baruch Hu to have a nachas ruach. Whatever the case may be, if he had a negative, in other words, if you want to formulate the Lechem Mishnah in our language, in our lingo, it would be that there's a machshava poselas, not just with regard to l'shem zevach, but in regard to the other four machshavas. Again, what the repercussions of that are, I don't know, but I can only tell you it's a pretty revolutionary idea, because we've been assuming until now that when we learn the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav, and the Mishnah is talking about sheish machshavos, four out of those six are embellishments. They are, if the Kohen wants to get brownie points and he wants to do it the right way, these are the machshavas he should have. But don't even entertain the idea of jeopardizing the kashrus hakorban. And now the Lechem Mishnah, I'll just show you the words. He says, "Umashma." This is the third line in the paragraph Lechem Mishnah. Shim shachat b'feirish shalol l'shem echad mehem. He's talking about the six things in halacha yud aleph. Lo ol b'ayin l'shem chova, which really, in a sense, smooths out the equation here between the first two machshavos and the last four machshavos. You follow? He's operating with a certain equation that puts all six machshavos on the same level, where stom is going to be kosher, and ol b'ayin l'shem chova, and if he has a negative machshava, then it's going to be kosher, but it's not ol b'ayin l'shem chova. That approach gives me the heebie-jeebies, because, first of all, I think the Rambam was very clear that he was separating the first two machshavos from the other four. Secondly, to tell me that in all six machshavos, shalom l'shma passels the carbon, at least as far as the Ritzu Bailim. So again, Rabbi Osei, I'm skipping this right now. This you'll have to work on your own. It's your own.
It's very interesting, in terms of the
Rambam. I should have mentioned
our case. Because he says that what it means, what does it mean, shalom l'shma? It's not machshava posel, it means that essentially you're saying it's lo l'shem reach nichoah.
Right. And he says that would passel the carbon.
So what if you did lo l'shem ola? You didn't mention shlamim, you didn't mention stama. You actually, the only thing that the Kohen said was lo l'shem ola.
Right.
What is that?
So again, that would depend upon, I think, our two approaches. If we're saying that he needs a positive machshava, so then that's the absence of a positive machshava. If he's saying that there's machshava poselis because he has in mind a different karbon, then maybe if he has in mind shalom l'shem ola, but not l'shem any other zevach, that might come under the sugya of l'shem chulin. Okay, but be that as it may, I'm giving you now the homework of going through this Lechem Mishnah. Okay, because I think the Lechem Mishnah is... But what I would like to do with you is this next paragraph. Okay. Now, the fact that the Brisker Rav opens up with the first two words of trade dini, that doesn't surprise me. If he hadn't opened up this paragraph with trade dini, I would have been surprised. He says, trade dini ika... Bidin lishma shel karbanos. And for those who've been with me, and there are at least three people in this room who've been with me for Derech HaLimud, you remember what's called a din kloli and a din mesuyo. So that's going to be very, I think, although he doesn't use the terminology here, but I think very appropriate here in the Brisker Rav. Chada. Okay, I like to use a red thing. Chada, that's number one. Sheyu nikrovim lishman. Now, Rabbi Osei, if I stop here, where does that fit into our lingo? Are we talking about the absence of something positive or a machshava poselis?
The absence of something.
Correct, the absence of something positive. Do you see that? So that's his first halacha as far as machshava in kodshim is concerned, lishma in kodshim. That you need to be makriv the karbon lishma. However, he equates this requirement of lishma to the requirement of lishma in Sefer Torah and in Tzitzis and possibly in Get. I don't know, he doesn't spell it out. Meaning, I call this a din klali, meaning in Hilchas Lishma, if you were writing a PhD thesis on Lishma and you would apply it in different se'ifim to Tzitzis, Tvi'a Lishma, to Sefer Torah Ksiva Lishma, in Get Ksiva Saget, wherever Lishma is, then there's a parallel requirement of Lishma in Akravas HaKodshim. So far, so good. The Shenis, now he has a second din, Mechudash, see, I would have written Mesuyam, but he calls it Mechudash, Bekodshim. Now, at this point, going back to Achakira, are we talking about the absence of a machshava or the existence of a negative machshava? Take a look. He says, Shenis din Mechudash Bekodshim, Shemachsheves Shelo Lishman, Havi Machshava Poselis. And if you have any doubt about it, he equates it to what? To Pigel. Pigel would be a classical example of a Machshava Poselis in Hilchus Kodshim. It generates a shame Pigel with an Issa Kari Fachi Lost. He says now, Klapi Dina Rishon, De Be'ina Asiya Lishma, okay, it's the positive requirement of Lishma. Ein Chisaron, Afilim Chashem Befeir Shalom Lishma. Okay, this is a fascinating idea. He had in mind Shalom Lishma, but that's not a Machshava Poselis, because we're just talking about the absence of the right Kavanah Lishma. Mishum De Bezvachim, Mishas Hegdeshan, Stoma Lishma Neimondos. Okay, now he's quoting the final maskon of this long sugya that ends on Daf Gimel, namely Stoma Lishma. So he's saying that Stoma Lishma and Zvachim is going to tell us that we can fulfill the first requirement of a universal halach of Lishma. Again, in Get or in Tzitzis or so forth, so we don't have that luxury of Mestama Lishma. But in Get, where we have the luxury of Mestama Lishma, we've already supplied the Lishma. Now you and I can ask, but wait a minute, he's yelling and screaming, Lo Lishma, how can you tell me it's Lishma?
It becomes a stomach.
Right? So the answer is that the way the Brisker Rav understands the mechanism of Mestama to fulfill the first requirement of Lishma, it doesn't work on a psychological level. And were you here when we discussed the Sugim Sochim? No, you weren't here. Anyway, the Sugim Sochim says that in Pesach, Bizmano, if he has a machshava of Shalom Lishma, which means L'shem Shlomim, for example, then that's considered Lishma and Shalom Lishma. How could that be? He's yelling and screaming that I'm doing it L'shem Shlomim. How can you tell me it's L'shem Pesach? Do you remember this discussion?
One's inside the carbon, one's inside.
Right, inside the carbon itself. So that's the Brisker Rav's opinion here. So again, there's a unique feature in Kodshim called Stoma Lishma, which touches or impacts on the universal requirement of Lishma and sets up a Lishma not only in the absence of Lishma, but even if he has a negative Kavan Lishma. That's called Stoma Lishma. And therefore, it's chalos din begufan shenasim me'atzman lishma. Like it's an automatic lishma, as opposed to the machshava of the person. Kichazinan din chashav l'shem chulin kosher. How can l'shem chulin be kosher? He doesn't have a kavanah lishma in l'shem chulin, right? He, l'shem chulin is shalol lishma, and the answer must be because it's stamol lishma. Ah, now he quotes the Gemara Pesachim. Okay, that I'm excited about. The Medami Agmar Pesach Shachtu Shalom Lishma Lishchachto Lishma Vishalom Lishma. Now, if he's yelling and screaming Shalom Lishma, how do you get Lishma here? It must be that there's a din of Mestama in the Gufa Karban, and that generates a Lishma. Hari lehedja, the din stumble lishma, isa gam, v'chashu b'feir shalol lishma, v'al karchach, the hod machsheva shalol lishma poselis, who din psul b'fnei atzmu, v'din psul yamachshava. Now we have to add the following principle, that's number two on his list. He calls it a din mechudosh in kachin, that to some he called a machshava poselis. So the machshava poselis now, in a sense, undermines the mistama. So the halacha mistama tells me that the korban itself supplies the lishma. But now we have a different halacha of kavana haposeles, and that's a din kachim that sets up a psul in the korban. Now we have to ask ourselves the question: what is a machshava poselis? When is there a machshava poselis? What are the details? And for that, we have to learn our mishnah. But as we're dissecting our mishnah, with the premise that as far as the Lishma requirement, as a positive requirement, which applies in many different areas of halacha, we've already fulfilled that through the din of what? Mistama. Now, we're talking about Machshava Poselis. So if that be the case, Rabosai, then I believe that the Brisker Rav understood our Mishnah in my second explanation, namely that our Mishnah from beginning to end is talking about a Machshava Poselis. Because if not for Machshava Poselis, then we have a din of Mistama Lishma. Now, what's the difference between telling me that the carbon is lacking in a positive machshava and telling me that the carbon has a negative machshava, meaning A, which is the absence of lishma, and B is a machshava poselis. So the next paragraph, the Brisker Rav comes up with a brilliant nafkamina. He says the following: what happens if the Kohen does the Zrikas Hadam on the Mizbech? Now, what does he have in the Kli? It's called a Mizrak in the Kli Shars. What does he have in the Kli Shars? Is it empty?
No.
No, it's not empty. Oh, if it's not empty, then what happens if he finally wants to get his act together and do this right? So he started his Rika with a Machshava of Shalol Lishma. Now, we have two options. Can he fix it up with a zrika, with the shirayim, you know, whatever's left in the karma, or no, fafal, ball game over, finito. So he says the following: if it's the absence of a machshavas lishma, then let him take the rest of the dam and now have a machshavas lishma. But if in, just one second, but if in kachim there's a new chidush, that lishma doesn't only hinge on is there absent lishma or is there present lishma, but a new din of machshava poselis, right, then when he started with the zrika and a machshava shalol lishma, so he said the ola was l'shem shlovin, now there's a psul in the karban. If there's a psul in the karban, then what good is it if you zorek the dam from a karban that's possible? And now we turn to the next page. Oh, he says the following: the Gemara has a whole long sugi here at the beginning of Zvachim about minayin the stomach kilishma. Can you prove to me that there's a principle called stomach kilishma? He says, the masnisin, the reish Zvachim, vaday mairi midin machshava poselis. Now, I think in the next paragraph he goes through all the logical reasonings and the analysis that we've mentioned in order to prove that our Mishnah is talking about a machshava poselis.
Even the Tanakam?
And I think he's assuming the integrity of the Mishnah that I call the consistency, even in the Tanakam. So again, we'll have to read it inside. I'm just taking a look at my clocks. I'm trying to fit this all in. But what I want to really get up to is the following. Do you see a paragraph, Ella, on page Shinnun Gimel? I forget, Sammy, how much we...
No.
Oh, you didn't. All right. So let's leave out the paragraph Ella, but let's at least set up the framework, sort of like the lead-in that we need for that paragraph. So he's saying the following. He's saying, Masnisa Deresh Zvachim Vadai Mairi Midin Machshava Poselis. And how I know this, says the Brisker Rav, because look at all the distinctions of the Mishnah. They don't apply, they're not relevant to a chisaron asiyah lishma. Right? Let's underline those three words. Chisaron asiyah lishma. In other words, if you're talking about a kavanah l'shem namuch, which according to Shimon ben Achi Azariah is going to be machalel the kodshim, or for example, according to Yossi ben Choni, if you're talking about a machshav l'shem chatos, the carbon is also mechulal, it's possible. The alfinu le'mahadim psulim, fine. V'chein kodshim machalim. Okay, that's already beyond us. But he says, kol zel oshayach iapsul midin chisaron asiyah l'shma. If your definition of lishma is that you're lacking in lishma, then what difference does it make whether you had a machshava for this way or machshava for that way? Whether it's l'shem chatos, l'shem namok shebehen, or l'shem chulin, or all these different kinds of variations. At the end of the day, it's the same as the absence of a machshava lishma. In Cain, hadashaki v'tari stam lishma, who inyan b'fnei atzma v'din acher, the afilu hoya din d'stama, mistama pasal b'kodshim. In other words, the absence of lishma would pasal the karbon. Akati oisan afkamina b'psul machshava lipsol es kol karbon v'af hadam b'tzava. So let's try to understand this last piece. He says the following. The Shaklan Tari the Gemara back and forth whether it is a din of mistama lishma. He's saying the following. That's only as far as setting up a lishma. Meaning, if you're lacking a lishma, can we supply the lishma through the mechanism of mistama? But now we're talking about a different concept in our Mishnah, namely a machshava poselis. And he says that if you were to hold that mistama would be possible in kodshim, then it would be possible as a machshava poselis. And then afkamina would be that if it's a psul machshava poselis, it's not just the absence of a lishma, then it would possel the carbon in such a way that even if there's dam left in the tzavar, what we call dam ha-nefesh, in other words, he can still do the zrika, no longer does he have the possibility of doing the zrika. So if I understand correctly, Rabosa, you'll have to read it again and tell me if I'm right or not. If the text bears me out, I think the Brisker Rav is saying that when the Gemara vacillates back and forth about mistama lishma, the Gemara wants to offer or play with the possibility that we might even passel the karbon in the absence of a lishma. Meaning, the absence of lishma now, in the case of mistama shelo lishma, according to that side of the Gemara, is equal to a machshava poselis. Because again, the Gemara is going to analyze this issue of stoma lishma or stoma shelo lishma from the perspective of our Mishnah. The Gemara is going to look into our Mishnah, make diyukim in our Mishnah with the lashon. Does it mean that he had a machshava haposelis? Did he have a stoma lishma? And the Gemara is using our Mishnah as the litmus test to determine whether stoma lishma or stoma shelo lishma. Comes along the Brisker Rav and he says, if the Mishnah is operating with the machshava poselis to such an extent that even if there's dam tzavar left in a dam ha-nefesh left in the tzavar behema, it still would be possible. There's no salvation here for this karbon. That means that we're dealing with machshava poselis. So in the tzad in the Gemara that stam is kishalo lishma, we have a brand new halacha. This is really way out. What we're saying is that if he has no machshava whatsoever, or as Mitch pointed out before, he doesn't make any declaration whatsoever, then that's considered as if it passes the karbon. So what we're doing here is we're introducing a brand new halacha that exists in kodshim and only in kodshim. In kol ha-Torah kula, we would never have the possibility of generating a psul by virtue of the absence of lishma. What you could do is you could say, well, if it's absent lishma, then it doesn't have a kashrus of tzitzis, and so forth and so on. But now what we're saying is that in kodshim is a brand new halacha. And that, so let's say, for example, in tzitzis, I'm just going to play a game with you now. Let's say I would play the following game with you, and I would say that in tfiyas ha-tzitzis, he has to be tova, let's say, four chutim of tzitzis. And all he needs is lishma in one of the four. So let's say he had no lishma in the first three, and then he got to the fourth, and he had lishma. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What would be the status? It would be kosher, right? Now in kodshim, what we're saying is that the absence of lishma, according to this man, the Omer, who holds stomach lavka lishma, would possibly the korban such that even though he has dam left, he's got that fourth chut of tzitzis, he still can't salvage it, because now this unique halach in the world of kachim that establishes that the absence of lishma is like a positive shalol lishma, which again we have to figure out how that works, that's going to possibly the korban such that even if this dam at tzavra left, he won't be able to salvage and save the korban. So Rav Moshe, if there's any way you can hold on to these pages for next week, where are we up to? Wednesday. So we'll call it Monday?
Tomorrow
is Thursday, but Sammy can't be here tomorrow, right? And I don't think Mitch can be here tomorrow, so maybe we'll pick this up on Monday.
So we're not having a
question? No. Again, you know, two people, I'm trying to satisfy everybody.
I'm sure it's a lot to learn at the same, but we don't have to do the same thing.